Well, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did. Ate a lot of food. I think I'm still recovering from that. So if I go long today, it's because I'm not thinking about lunch. I'm still full. Full from Thanksgiving. But it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I'm very honored and blessed to be here before you. This morning, as we get started, I want to see how many of you have seen the movie Gladiator. A few people, I see some hands showing up a little bit. I love that movie. That's probably one of my most favorite movies that I've ever seen. Super good movie. And if you've seen the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, in the beginning of this movie, you kind of see an idea of the Roman Empire, kind of what it looked like. You see a battle stage set. The legions are set. They're having a battle. They win this battle. You kind of see how they fight, how they could have looked like. And today, as we stand here, as I stand here, and as we think about things this morning, we think about the Roman Empire probably being one of the greatest military successes of all time. You know, its expansion is almost unheard of in history. And by 60 AD, the Roman conquests had brought them to what we know as modern-day England, the southern part of modern-day England. And in their expansion, as you may know, they subjected many people to their rule. And while they were in England, in modern-day England, there were many Celtic tribes in that area, and these Celtic tribes became subject to the Roman Empire due to their expansion. Now, due to their subjection, I know that that probably was not fun for them. They decided to retaliate against the Romans, and these Celtic tribes mustered 100,000 fighting men to fight against the Roman rule. And they marched against the 14th and the 20th legions of the Roman army, which consisted of approximately 10,000 men. And these two armies planned to meet at a commonly used Roman road by the name of Watling Street. Now, the small Roman army, relative to the Briton army, took up position in this steep cliff, in a steep cliff with a ravine with only one tight entry point into the cliffs. Now, the Briton army, composing mostly of these Celtic warriors, approached from the flat plains that were located below the cliff. And at the time of this battle, the Britons approached up the narrow gorge, outnumbering the Roman legions 10 men to 1. But the Romans inflicted heavy casualties immediately with javelins. And they commenced charging up the middle of the Briton ranks, and their cavalry flanked the rebels. And according to some reports, many reports that I read, this was one of the greatest Roman victories of all time. These two legions, the 14th and the 20th legion, lost 400 men and suffered 400 wounded. But the Briton army, they lost over 80,000 men. That means for every Roman legionnaire who died, 200 Celtic warriors perished. And again, this is considered one of the greatest Roman victories of all time. But this morning, as we think about this, I'd like to look at a man that we read about in the Old Testament who was used by God to lead an even greater set of military victories that freed the Israelites from oppression. If you have your Bibles here this morning, let's turn over to the book of Judges. We'll be in Judges chapter 6 through chapter 8. We'll be looking at the story of Gideon. Now this morning, as Rick may know, many preachers use a common three-point sermon. I have four lessons that we can take from us this morning from the story of Gideon. Number one, God uses tough times to get people's attention. Number two, God sees more than we do. Number three, God is patient with us in our growth. And number four, God's power leads to success. And as we get into this lesson, these lessons I think are great and practical ideas that we can take with us as we continue to strive for growth. I mean, as you may know, Gideon is one of the many examples of what God can do with those who trust in Him. So back to number one, God uses tough times to get people's attention. We'll start in Judges chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. Starting in verse 1, The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them, and they would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste to the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel and said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now, as I read the passage this morning, I think many times that we as Americans can become complacent. You know, we're considered to be richer than many countries in the world. Many of us, we never miss a meal. You know, we have all the freedoms that we need. We have the freedom to come and worship together this morning. Everything is in our favor. And here in Judges, I see some eerie similarities to the Israelites to common day America. I see how the Israelites turn from God when everything is going their way. Now, I see earlier in Judges how Jabin, king of Canaan, in chapter 4, verse 23, was subdued by God, and how the land, because of that, had rest for 40 years. And in those years, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, maybe they became complacent in their time of great plenty. Maybe they turned to different gods. And all of their evil became so great that God gave them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. And the Midianites brought the Israelites very low, like we just read. And they were impoverished, and they always had their crops destroyed by an uncountable number of men. And finally, after all of this, after all of this struggle, they decide to cry out to God. And in this tough time, we can kind of see how the people's attention is shifted back towards God. You know, God, He punished His people for not obeying His voice. And through the punishment, the people cried out for God. And they realized that they could not make it on their own. You know, we know that God is always there. We know that He's there in the good. We know that He's with us in the bad. And when I look at the Israelites, I see a nation that struggled to seek God in the good, to seek God when things were going their way. And they always seemed to be suffering when they looked to God. And I think that's such an important lesson for us this morning, because our attention always seems to shift towards God during the tough times. You know, what would it look like if we sought God in the good times? Or what would our relationship look like with Him if we never grew complacent, if we never grew selfish or greedy or self-centered? You see, I believe that God has the power to use these tough times to get our attention and show us that He truly is God. Number two, God sees more than we do. We'll be in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11 and read through verse 24. Verse 11. "Now the angel of the Lord came and said under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belongs to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where are all His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel?" We'll jump back and start in verse 14 again. "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.' And he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I have come to you and bring out my present and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will stay till you return.'" Verse 19. "So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them.' And he did so, and the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die.' Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is Peace.' To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites." So as we can see here, Gideon is down threshing his wheat in a wine press. Now, I know many of you have probably grown wheat in the past, but if you think about threshing wheat, you would normally want to do that outdoors. You'd normally want to do that in a spot so the wind could blow away the chaff and the trash. But Gideon was hiding in this underground wine press, hoping to avoid the attention of the Midianites. And it's really a pitiful sight to me. And in case you've ever wondered if God has a sense of humor, I want you to read verse 12 again. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Can't you? I can sit here and imagine Gideon's face really looking around for the man that God was addressing because he was hiding in a wine press. You know, was God being sarcastic or did he see more than Gideon saw? You know, I believe that God saw what he was about to make of Gideon. And we can go on to see how God is patient with Gideon as he begins to become the one who God planned for him to be. No other example of God seeing what he can make of a person comes from Exodus chapter 3. We saw that this morning. And this is where God appears to Moses in the burning bush and commands him to return to Egypt and bring his people out of Pharaoh's oppression. And we can see many times where God uses an average person to achieve his good work. For example, God used Abraham, a pagan from Ur of the Chaldeans, to be father of the faithful. He used Jacob, a liar, to be the father of the nation of Israel. He used Joseph, a slave, to save the world. You see, God's plan is ultimately achieved through these people. And I think we should let God, through these scriptures, mold us into the people who He wants us to be. Because if we are God's children, He sees what we can become through Him, not how bad we can mess up. Number three, God is patient with us in our growth. Let's jump back into Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 25. "That night the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and put down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here, with the stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you cut down. You shall cut down.' So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night." Verse 28. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And after they had searched and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down." Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal. That is to say, "Let Baal contend against him, because he broke down his altar." Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they were too called out to follow him. And he sent out messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill the bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. Now I believe that one of Satan's many ways of attacking us is doubt. You know, there's a lot of times we don't trust anyone but ourselves. You know, I see this everywhere in our work environments or in our families. You know, we're really good at doubting. And in this story, we can see here how Gideon just wants more proof that he will succeed. You know, I think he knows for sure, based off of verses 11, 12, that he was visited by the angel of the Lord. So I don't think that he is doubting that God is real. But I believe that he may doubt that God will truly be powerful enough to deliver him from the hands of the Midianites. You know, we see him ask God for these signs of dry fleece and wet ground and dry ground and wet fleece. He needs to see that God is truly behind him all the way. And I love to see how patient God is with Gideon in this moment. Gideon, as far as I can tell, is pretty respectful in asking for these signs. But this part of the story is super encouraging to me, because I can see just how patient God is with us as our faith continues to grow. Just like Gideon, I don't think most of us doubt God's existence, but we sometimes doubt that he is on our side. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." We know God is the same God he was yesterday. We know he's the same God that he is today and that he will be tomorrow. And I know that if he is patient with Gideon years ago, he can be patient with me, with us, as we strive to grow in our faith. Number four, last point. God's power leads to success. We're going to read Judges chapter 7, starting in verse 1. "Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the springs of Harod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianite into their hands. Lest Israel boast over me, saying, "My own hand has saved me." Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And anyone whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands, and let all the others go, every man to his home. So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night the Lord said to him, arise, go against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outposts of the armed men who were at the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat. And the comrade answered, this is none other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped, and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand. And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of them all and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in the right hands the trumpets to blow, and they cried out, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them as far as Beth Barah and also the Jordan. So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters as far as Beth Barah and also the Jordan. And they captured the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. Then they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. Thanks for bearing with me as we read that. But I believe that you can see how that it's God's power that can bring such success. You know, later in Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, we can see as best as I can tell that none of the 300 men who were with Gideon perished. And God turned neighbor against neighbor and comrade against comrade in the Midianite camp. God was the one who slayed thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Midianites, and used Gideon as his vessel to carry out his plan. Remember at the beginning of this the lesson, we talked about the Roman Empire and their great victory. This military victory that we read about with Gideon puts the Roman victory to shame, simply because at the hand of God, many thousands of men were slain. So as I begin to close this morning, I hope there's been something that you could take away from this story of Gideon. I hope you can see how God can use tough times to get people's attention. I hope you know that God sees more than we do. My dad's an eye doctor. I think I see pretty good, but God sees more than we do. Now, we should be grateful that God is patient with us in our growth. And lastly, God's power is the power that always leads to success. This morning you may be here not as a Christian, and I want you to know that through baptism you can become a child of God. Romans chapter 6 shows us that we must partake in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection through immersion to become part of God's family. But if you choose not to do so, your fate will be the same as the Midianites who knew not God, and their path led to death. And one day God, the Lord, will return, and those who are not His children will suffer His wrath. So the invitation is open to you this morning. If you're not a Christian, need to be baptized. If you need prayers of the church, whatever it may be, please come as we stand and sing.